You know, at the end of membership training, we always have this new members fill out a questionnaire. And part of the questionnaire deals with spiritual gifts. And we ask, what do you think are your spiritual gifts? About half the people who ever connect, about half the people who ever join, they write down certain gifts. They write them down. They say, well, maybe I've got the gift of helps, or maybe I've got the gift of teaching. About the other half, and this is like half the people, write down something like, I don't know, or I'm not sure. Or they oftentimes list fruit of the Spirit. They'll say, my spiritual gift is love or joy or peace. That's fruit of the Spirit. That's not spiritual gifts. And sometimes they'll put down things that are not spiritual gifts at all. They'll say, I have the spiritual gift of working with youth. There's no such thing. I mean, what I'm just saying, you know, so they write down things. Spiritual gifts are misunderstood, and we realize that they are vital in the body of Christ. So this morning, as we look about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we're going to look at the aspect of spiritual gifts, because the Holy Spirit is vital in the giving of the gifts. In fact, when you look at it, we know the whole Godhead gives the gifts, but the Holy Spirit actually decides which gift or gifts that you get. And so we'll see it as we go through it. Let me remind you of what we've seen. You don't have to write all this down. I think a lot of it's on your handout. But when we think about God, the Holy Spirit, he is a personal being. He has a mind, emotion, and will. He's not a force. He's a being. He is God. He's a member of the Godhead. There's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He is active in both Old Testament and in the life of Christ in mankind. He's always active. He gave us the Old Testament. He dealt with the basically the conception, the ministry, the life, the death, and resurrection of Christ. He deals with mankind as a whole. We saw that the Holy Spirit's ministry in both the believer and the unbeliever's life. We talked about how the Holy Spirit convicted the unbeliever and that kind of thing. I think I have this right here. As far as the unbeliever, he convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. As far as the believer, he deals with us in two different ways. Now, this is why it's so important. Every one of us in this room need to understand, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? And it's two different aspects. It's daily and at salvation. So what did the Holy Spirit do at salvation? What does the Holy Spirit do daily? And we've seen both of those already. And I want to remind you that at salvation, the Holy Spirit makes us alive. He regenerates us. We were dead in trespasses and sins. He makes us alive. Holy Spirit baptizes us. He places us in the body of Christ. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He seals us, which means he keeps us safe and protected forever. That deals with our security. He comes to live inside of us. He permanently indwells in us, and he gives gifts. That's all at salvation. We'll see more about the gifting in a minute. On a daily basis, the Holy Spirit fills us. That means he empowers us to live. The Holy Spirit teaches us. As we look at the Scripture, he illuminates the Scripture and helps us to understand the Bible. He guides us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Once again, going back to the Word of God, he helps us to understand the will of God. He assures us. And the Holy Spirit, by scriptural passages and by the fact that he deals with our spirit, as he says it, the Holy Spirit deals with our spirit to help us to understand who we are. And then last but not least, and we saw this last time, that the Holy Spirit prays for us. He makes intercession for us. When we don't even know what to pray for, it is great to know the Holy Spirit is there and praying for us. Now this morning, and it's going to take us just two or three weeks, and then we're through. We're through with our study of the Holy Spirit for this semester, and then we'll start something different in the summer. In fact, let me just say this. What we're going to do this summer is I'm calling it Strange Passages from the Bible. And we're going to have seven over the summer, seven different passages. The first one deals with Balaam and the donkey. That's a strange passage. Why is even Balaam going with the donkey? Why does the donkey talk, right? A donkey talks, and we'll see that. We'll see. There's a whole bunch of them we're going to look at. But anyway, we're talking about spiritual gifts today. And so here's sort of the outline. It's going to take us a couple of weeks to finish this. What are spiritual gifts? The giving of the spiritual gifts. The purpose of spiritual gifts. Discovering your gifts. How do you know what your gifts are? The description of spiritual gifts. We're going to list them. And then how do you use your gifts? So so vital that over the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to talk about these gifts. We're going to talk about when did we get them. We're going to talk about the purpose of them. We're going to talk about figuring out what your gifts are and how to use your gifts. That is so vital. This morning, we're just going to look at the first two. What are the spiritual gifts and the giving of the spiritual gifts? I don't want you to do this, but if I said right now, raise your hand, don't do it, if you know what spiritual gift or gifts you have. Probably, if we did that, about half the people might raise their hand. The other half would say, I just don't know. I don't know. Some people say, I didn't even know I had a gift or gifts. Some people say, well, I know what the gifts are, but I've never even thought about mine. I've never thought about it. And there are other people who say, oh, yeah, I know what my gift is, and I'm using my gift. And some people say, well, I know what my gift is, but I'm not using my gift. So it just varies all around. So let's start with this first question, and that is, what are spiritual gifts? As we go through the Bible, we see in a lot of places passages that actually deal with gifts. There are lifted gifts. In fact, in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4, there are four places that actually list spiritual gifts. And then there are other places where it actually talks about spiritual gifts. So it's important that the Bible talks about this. So what are the gifts? How does it fit? All of these set of things. So what exactly is a spiritual gift? Spiritual gift is this. A spiritual gift is a divine enablement, divine power, given a special ability, given to believers to serve within the body of Christ. So a spiritual gift is a divine enablement. In other words, it's a God-given ability given to a believer so that the believer can serve within the body of Christ. So every one of you in this room have at least one spiritual gift that God has given you. And you're to use those gifts for service. So we're going to talk more about it. But a believer has the ability to do something in God's power, which is to be used in the body of Christ. It's special. Now, we're not talking about a talent. We're not talking like playing the piano or being able to sing. We're not talking about something like that. We're talking about a spiritual, divine enablement. Let me show you something. Ron Showers, he's at Philadelphia College of the Bible, says, a spiritual gift is a particular ability to minister to other people, which was given graciously by the Holy Spirit to the believer. So that's what a spiritual gift is. The Holy Spirit gave you an ability, a gift, and something to be able to serve within the body of Christ. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Because in chapters 12, 13, and 14, Paul deals with spiritual gifts. And one of the things you may have to understand is the Corinthians were misusing spiritual gifts. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, a lot of the things he's talking about is correcting their usage of spiritual gifts. Notice how he starts, chapter 12, verse 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts. And is your Bible, does your Bible have gifts in italics? Anybody have gifts in italics? It does, doesn't it? That means that word's not there. What it actually says in the original Greek is, now concerning spirituals. That's what it says. And they're talking about spiritual aspect. He says, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware. He says, I want you to understand about spirituals, or we'd say spiritual gifts. They're divine enablements. In fact, that's what it is. It's divine empowerments, endowments from the Holy Spirit. So every one of us in this room who know Christ as Savior have an ability from God the Holy Spirit, to serve within the body of Christ. Most people don't think about it that way, but it's true. He wanted them to understand that. So in chapters 12, 13, and 14, he's actually correcting their use of spiritual gifts because they were misusing them. Look at verse 4. He said, now there are a variety of gifts. And that's how he starts it. He said, there are a lot of different gifts. And by the way, the Greek word for gift has the root word for grace. This the same aspect of root. So a gift is something graciously given. So God has given to every one of us a gift, a spiritual gift to serve, and it's a gift. So it's graciously given. It's not something you earned. It's not something you even asked for. Okay? And we'll see it as we go through it. So spiritual gifts are the ability given by God to serve for a believer, to serve within the body of Christ. So one of the questions that we're going to get to next week, and that's a question for you to think about, what is your gift or gifts, and how are you using those gifts within the body of Christ? What is it? And that's why a lot of people go, I don't know. And I say, well, then where are you serving? What are you doing? And we'll talk more about it. Let's talk about the giving of the gifts, okay? The giving of the gifts. Let me look at time. Okay, we're okay. Let's talk about the giving of the gifts. When? So we're going to ask questions. When do we get spiritual gifts? The moment of salvation. We've already seen that when we study that, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit, actually, we get spiritual gifts right then. Gifts are given when a person believes. Everybody has at least one gift, and that's the bottom line. I've had some people say, well, how do we know they're given at the moment of salvation. Well, if they weren't, you would have believers without spiritual gifts. And they'd have to say, well, I got to wait till I've been a believer for 3 months and then I get the gift. No, it doesn't say that. The moment we believe, we are a new creation in Christ, we're gifted, we have all those things. Okay, so when do we get spiritual gifts? We get them at the moment of salvation. The second thing is, who gets spiritual gifts? Well, the bottom line is all believers. Everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ as Savior get spiritual gifts. Everyone. Now, notice this. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 7. Look what it says. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Who gets a spiritual gift in that passage? Every one of us. Look down at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit just works all these things, distributing what? To each one individually, just as he wills. Who gets spiritual gifts? Each one of us. And Ephesians 4:7, it says, to each one of us was the grace gift was given. In other words, God in his grace gave us gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, use it in serving one another. So there are at least four places right there that just say that every one of us get a spiritual gift. Now, here's some points I want to go over so you can understand them, okay? Here we go. Number one, every believer has at least one spiritual gift. You are gifted by God. So every one of us in this room who know Christ as Savior, and I assume that every one of us in this room know Christ as Savior, but the bottom line is you have at least one spiritual gift. You may have more than one, but you have at least one spiritual gift. And when we go to the scripture next week, we're going to look at the listing of the gifts, see what they are. You may have never even thought about it. You may have never gone to 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans 12 or Ephesians 4 or 1 Peter 4, and you've never even looked at the gifts and see what they are. Now, if you've joined our church, we've given you a spiritual gift inventory and said, fill this out. As you fill this out and you answer questions, you'll get to the end of that, and it will give you an idea of what possibly your spiritual gift or gifts are. So we'll talk about that. Every believer has one gift. Number two, you may have more than one gift. Paul the apostle had a number of gifts. He was a prophet. He was an apostle. He was an evangelist. He was a teacher. He had the gift of helps. Definitely had the gift of mercy. I mean, you start going through Paul's life, and he had the gift of tongues, because Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. He had that. That's the gift of tongues, is the ability to speak a language you don't know so you can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. So you may have more than one gift. Paul had a number of gifts. Number three is you will not have all the gifts. You know why? Because if you had all the gifts, you wouldn't need anybody else. And he's got us all in the body of Christ, each one of us with different gifts, and we all work together. So nobody has all the gifts, or else you wouldn't need anybody else. Here's the key. Gifts are essential to the functioning of the body. Gifts are essential to the functioning of the body. Look at verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. Look what he says. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, talking about a human body, he says, all the members of the body, though there are many, are one, so is the body of Christ. And then look down at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Like if the foot says, I'm not the hand, I'm not a part of the body. No, it's a part of the body. It's not in the least part. If the ear says, I'm not an eye, I'd rather be an eye, I'm just an ear. He says, no, that eye, you're still part of the body. And then he says, gosh, if the whole body was an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body was a, you know, ear, where would the smelling be? And so he bottom line says, you need every part of your human body for it to function. We need every part of the body of Christ with our different gifts and talents for it to function. I think one of the things that I've noticed over all these years, so many believers do not think that they're important or that they're needed. I mean, that's why some come to church once every 5, 6, 7 weeks. They don't even think they matter. They just show up whenever they, you know, maybe it's raining or maybe, it's, well, if it's raining, they won't come. But anyway, and the bottom line is they don't understand that the body functions when all of the Christians using their gifts together make it work. And so if you're a believer and you're not serving, then the body is not working right, because it'd be like saying, well, this hand's not working because they're at home while all the rest of us are trying to do something, but this hand's not here. And most believers do not realize how vital every one of you are. That's why he says he put the whole body together and it all functions together. He says in verse 19, if we were all one member, where would the body be? It wouldn't work. But now there are many members in one body. So he bottom line says, you've got that we're all essential. So if you ever think that it doesn't matter whether you come, it doesn't matter whether you serve, it doesn't matter whether you're there, it doesn't matter, you're wrong. You're vital. And if you're not connected and serving, the body of Christ is not what it should be. Think about that. Think about that. You are vital for, let's talk about a local body. God put us in this local body. If you're not connected, if you're not serving, this body is not able to function the way it should. Think about that. Okay? Let's go on to number five. You cannot, there's different gifts within the body. You cannot lose your gifts. 12:29 basically talks about what God gives, he doesn't take away. So you can't lose your gifts. Now, you might not exercise your gifts. You might not develop your gifts. Let's say gift of teaching. Person who's got the gift of teaching, okay? They may never teach. They may say, well, I don't want to teach. But you got the gift, you know, you might can do that. No, I don't want to. Or what if they do and then they stop? And they say, you need to be teaching. Well, I don't want to, okay? So you're not going to lose your gifts. You just may not use them and you may not develop them. Person with the gift of teaching doesn't automatically stand up and can teach the Bible very well. You got to study it. You got to put it together. It's developed. Gifts are developed. And so you cannot lose your gift. Now, here's number three, or C. Who gives the spiritual gifts? This is important. And we're just about out of time, so I got to go faster. It's the Godhead. The Godhead gives the gifts. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Look what it says. There are varieties of gifts, but the same what? Same Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same who? The Lord, that's Jesus. There are varieties of effects, but it's the same God. So notice that on this, there are spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit. There are different ministries given by Jesus Christ. There are different effects given by God. He's basically saying the Godhead together gives the gifts. But here's an emphasis that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that is the gifts and the giving of the gifts and who gets the gifts and what gifts they get come back to the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's the Holy Spirit that gives the manifestation of the Spirit. Look at verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the what? Through the Spirit. Another word of knowledge through the Spirit. Another faith by the same Spirit. Another gifts of the healing by Spirit. Another to the best of miracles. So he lists on down, and then verse 11, this is what he says. He says, but to each, to one and the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he will. Who decides what gift you get? Holy Spirit does, gives them out just as he will. He says, gift of helps, gift of mercy, gift of ministration, gift of teaching, gift of pastor teaching, gift of giving, gift of, and he gives them to believers at the moment of salvation. Now, I've got two things I want to end with, and I'll go fairly quickly. There's things I want you to think about. We'll get more into this later. Number one, the reception of gifts is not by our desire, our faith, are our practice, but by the decision of the Holy Spirit. The reason I bring that up, there are people who teach that they can teach you and give you the gift of tongues, or they can give you a different kind of gift, or they can give you the gift of healing. I've had friends go to different churches where somebody said, listen, we can teach you so you can have the gift of tongues. Listen, if the Holy Spirit didn't give you the gift of tongues, you're not going to have the gift of tongues. It's not because you desire it. It's not because you practice it. It's not because you say you're going to do it. The reception of gifts are given by the Holy Spirit as he wills, not as you will. So just remember that. Second thing is to think about spiritual gifts do not make you spiritual. When do you get your spiritual gifts? At the moment of salvation. Being spiritual means you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. You can have 10 spiritual gifts and be carnal and be walking in the flesh, and you're not a spiritual person. The reason I bring that up, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he's writing to the church at Corinth. Let me ask you a question before we stop. Was the church at Corinth on fire and rolling, or was the church on Corinth in trouble? and trouble. They were not spiritual. He writes at the very beginning and he says, they come behind in no spiritual gift. That means they've got every spiritual gift you could imagine. He's saying the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts in Corinth is amazing. And then he says to them in chapter 3, you are immature, you are carnal, you are fleshly. So I just want you to understand that spiritual gifts don't make people spiritual. Spiritual gifts are for service. The Holy Spirit and living in the power of the Holy Spirit and obeying the scripture and walking worthy of the calling and growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ help you to be spiritual and mature. But spiritual gifts don't do that. Spiritual gifts are for service. Because I've had people say, if you had this spiritual gift, I mean, I've had a person tell me one time, a long time ago, you're not very spiritual, but one day when you're able to speak in tongues, that's what they said to me, then you'll be spiritual. Spiritual gifts don't make you spiritual. Spiritual gifts are for service. So just remember that, because there's a lot of, confused teaching out there. So application, let's go through this real quickly. Let's realize that gifts are given for the common good of the body. Gifts are given for the common good of the body. And just remember, find a place to serve. And that's why 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, use it in serving one another. So the question you might ask yourself as we get through this, especially next week, what is my gift and where am I serving in this body? Number two, be content with your gifts, okay? Just remember, the goal is to use the gifts and understand the gifts are for service, and they don't make you spiritual. God gave the gifts. His desire is that we would use our gifts. So may we be thankful for the gifts. May we understand them. May we understand that spiritual gifts are divine abilities given to us from God so that we can serve. May we understand that the whole Godhead gives the gifts, but the Holy Spirit is the one who decides what your gifts are. And you got at least one gift. You don't have all the gifts. You may have more than one gift. It's used for your service, all kind of things.